going to talk about the strange phrase in Hebrews 11:2. I told you last week that there was a strange phrase and that I didn't fully understand it because the wording was so strange, as many of the statements are in Paul's letter, especially here in Hebrews. It's almost like Paul's trying to occlude the truth rather than elucidate it. And I suppose there's much lost in the translations. But you know me, I've been griping about this for years. I will continue to gripe about it. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Monday. This is Martin Zender. I can't help myself that it's Martin Zender. I also can't help myself that I'll continue to gripe about this occluding type language that very archaic. And I laugh at myself because it is archaic. It was written 2,000 years ago in the Greek language, and it's been translated, so we have issues, I think, with the translation. Nevertheless, we're going to forge ahead, attempt to make sense of this. And it's a great lesson in Hebrews 11:2. And I think that if it was clearer and plainer, this verse would prevent people from thinking that God is done with Israel, from thinking that the body of Christ is the fulfillment of God's, the literal promise to Israel, I should say the quote-unquote spiritual fulfillment, the spiritual Israel theory, which you know I don't subscribe to and teach against, because it's false. So let's go here. By faith, Hebrews 11:2, by faith we are apprehending the eons to adjust to a declaration of God, so that what is being observed has not come out of what is appearing. All right, let's take what we know first, and which is the first part of this, and then we'll fumble through the second part of this, which we don't know. By faith, we are apprehending the eons to adjust to a declaration of God. Now, in the King James, says the worlds were, by faith we're apprehending the worlds were framed by a declaration of God. The worlds were framed. Totally, you know, you might be able to make sense of that if that's what it said. I mean, I can make sense of it. Yeah, the worlds were framed by declaration of God. God spoke, the world came into being, and it was framed like a painting in a matting hanging on a wall. Unfortunately, that's not what it says. The Greek word for world is kosmos, K-O-S-M-O-S. That word is not here. Anybody can discover that for him or herself in a concordance, Young's or Strong's concordance. But of course, it didn't bother the King James translators because they took different words like cosmos and ion. That's the word it is here, by the way, ion. A-I-O-N. We are apprehending the eons to adjust to a declaration of God. King James says worlds. Well, no big deal to them because they took different Greek words and made it into a single English word. That's what they did with hell. They took the Greek word Gehenna, Tartarus, and Hades, and they just translated it hell. Here, they're taking the word cosmos and ion, and they're not distinguishing between the two. So they take ion, and many places they've translated it world. They've also translated cosmos world. But ion and cosmos are two completely different words in the Greek. God had different ideas, different thoughts here to tell us. An ion is an indistinct period of time. A cosmos is the arrangement within that period of time, the system. That's how it's translated in the Greek. So when you're reading the word world in the King James Version, are you reading ion or cosmos? You don't know because these tree climbing, tea drinking, crazy blokes in 1611, they didn't care to give you the difference because they didn't translate. They interpreted. This is what we think it means. Could you get me another cup of tea, love? And we're just going to put that in there. I mean, it's inconsistent as hell. We don't care. It's inconsistent as Gehenna, Hades, Tartarus. What difference does it make to us? It makes no difference to us whatsoever. I know we sound like the Beatles here, but, you know. I'd rather listen to the Beatles than read the King James Version. Have I ever told you about the guy I met in Toronto? Well, I had a friend in Toronto named Paul. And I was up there for a talk, to give a talk in 2001. And this guy, Paul, he was all excited about the evangel. I think he's since not so excited about it. You know, flash in the pan type of guy, I think. But anyway, he was passing out King James Versions. And he bought these little tiny King James Versions, like pocket King James. And he's handing them out to people. You know, hand. And I said, you know, why are you doing that? Because the King James is so mistranslated. They misinterpret so many things. In fact, you could believe in eternal torment by reading this Bible, because you speak of everlasting punishment in Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, and many other passages. He goes, well, it's better than giving them nothing. And I said, no, I don't think it is. I think it's better to give them nothing than to give them a Bible that, because it's mistranslated, teaches eternal torment. It's got the words Holy Bible on the front, so people think it's written by God. Then they see a phrase like eternal punishment in Matthew 25, 46, and other places. And so, Holy Bible, in other words, authored by God, eternal punishment. God must believe in eternal punishment. I said, I'd rather you hand them pornography, much rather you hand them porn, than to give them a screwed up Bible that seems to be saying God teaches eternal torment. So he didn't like me after that. I can't understand it. I'm a nice guy. I really am a nice guy, but I have convictions and I believe and teach what I'm convicted about. You're better off not hearing anything. So here's a similar case here. And they take the word adjust. We're apprehending the eons to adjust to a declaration of God. That's the right translation. The King James made eons world, and they took adjust and they made it framed. The worlds were framed. But this word adjust is the Greek word katarizo. Kata, K-A-T-A, that's down. I know that. That's the prefix down. And artis, A-R-T-I-Z. Oh, okay, yeah, that's the root word for equip. So it's down-equip, to down-equip. Now, interesting, this same word was translated adjust when Jesus is calling Andrew, is it, and Peter, and they're adjusting their nets. They're adjusting their nets. So they're manipulating the different lines and strings and threads of the net, like you see a tennis pro, you know, in between shots, they're messing with the catgut, the strings on their tennis racket. They're adjusting the strings. It's not framed. They're not framing it. The disciples weren't framing their nets. That doesn't even make sense. The tennis pro's not framing his racket. He's adjusting it. So now, finally, I'm going to get to the great truth here. When you translate it right, great truths open up. The door is open to an understanding here. And this is what we are apprehending, that the eons are being adjusted to a declaration of God. The eons are adjusting. This means that, relatively speaking now, that what was to be the kingdom eon, which was, quote-unquote, supposed to come at Israel's repentance, at the coming of Messiah, they didn't repent. And so the eons were adjusted. There was this unforeseen, unprophesied of time period, which we're now living in, called the era of the nations. It's almost like, picture the eons as breathing, and they're waiting to be adjusted by God. And so something's happened. Israel has rejected their Messiah twice. Once they rejected the testimony of Jesus himself. Then they rejected the testimony of the Spirit, which was the aeonian sin, not the eternal unforgivable sin. And so the eons now are being adjusted, and Paul's teaching this to the Hebrews to explain to them why their kingdom didn't come, because the eons are being adjusted. We're taking the time period and we're stretching it. We're adjusting it like clay or putty. And we're stretching it now to accommodate a declaration of God. And the declaration of God is that I have temporarily locked up my people in stubbornness. We're going to read all about this in Romans chapter 11. Lock them up in stubbornness temporarily so that the fullness of the nations may come in. So relatively, we're looking at a breathing, living entity known as the eons. I can only say this in a relative sense because absolutely speaking, God knew, of course, that the eons would take this course and they were set out this way. They were set out this way. But as now, that's the absolute viewpoint. It was fixed. Everything has been fixed from the beginning. Now, forget about that. It's still true, but forget about it. Now, we're walking through time and we're seeing the eons as this breathing entity. It's not absolutely a breathing entity, but we're seeing it as. That's why I call this the relative viewpoint. The root word there is relate. And as we're relating to time, we're seeing it being stretched. And we're seeing this time period of Israel coming to a temporary close. Read Romans 11. It's temporary. Callousness on part has come on Israel until the fullness of the nation. That one word, until, is what throws people off. And it's a secret that Paul's elucidating there in Romans 11. So now, with that in mind, I want to read A. E. Knox's comment on this. This is his comment on verse 3 in Hebrews 11. That the worlds were framed is not pertinent to this passage. And absolutely true there. It might be true, but it's not pertinent to this passage because it's not what the writer's trying to say. That the worlds were framed is not pertinent to this passage. It deals with the change in God's administration of the eons as a result of the refusal of the kingdom proclamation. God has come in afresh and, through the revelations made to the Apostle Paul, has readjusted the eons to suit the conditions brought about by the apostasy of Israel. Those associated with this new grace find that in spirit, not the kingdom, but the new creation has come. Reference 2 Corinthians 5:17. I want to look at this tomorrow. This jogs me. That's good. That's really good. The new creation has come, and not only so, but the very consummation has arrived. Martin, how can this be? Reference there 1 Corinthians 10:11. How can you say the consummation has arrived? In spirit, the consummation has arrived. No, I'm not turning preterist on you, saying that something that's going to be future is now present with us. It's not. But in a sense, it's the great figure of speech, prolepsis. My favorite figure of speech. God calls what is not as though it were. Familiarize yourself with this figure of speech. It's my favorite figure of speech, prolepsis. Go to, I know we're in the closing moments here. Go to studyshelf.com. Then go to videos. Click on the little video icon. Go to Treasure Lake, Pennsylvania, and I have a talk there called called Prolepsis, my favorite figure of speech or something like that. Prolepsis. I love it. I love the sound of it. Prolepsis. It's really just rolls off the tongue. Prolepsis, especially if you're speaking it in the French vernacular. This has been Martin Zender. I will be back here tomorrow. I hope you'll be here with me.